You're listening to the Geekscape Network.
What's going on, guys? Meridon here for episode 51 of the Over Nerds podcast. Thanks for joining us. I'm fresh from the Fusion Arena groundbreaking ceremony. We'll get into that a little bit later. But first, I got to introduce my co-host, Mr. Brock. What's up, man?
Hello, it's me, your good friend Brock. I am doing great. How are you?
I'm good. I'm ready for some grand finals this weekend. Meet the world famous Brock in the flesh.
Oh,
network with some people.
I will say it's a life changing experience when you meet myself. I don't want to toot my own horn, but it is something else.
I'm gonna see you and like instantly my mind's blown.
What is this?
Is that him?
It's not really fair because I'm going to have my buddy just shining a light on my back. So when you do look at me, you get blinded a little bit. So.
That's fair. We have a little bit of an interesting show coming up today. For the simple fact that we have one game left, and that's the grand final. So we're going to talk about that a little bit. Talk about Titans versus Shock, who we have, some standouts there. That should be interesting. We're also going to go into the grand finals, what Brock and I are looking forward to. As I stated right in the beginning, I went to the Fusion Arena groundbreaking ceremony. That was today. That's Wednesday, 9:25. Awesome. Met some cool people there. I actually made it on TV looking like an idiot with a VR headset. So we'll definitely talk about that.
And we got to link that in the description for sure.
Most definitely. We linked when I was Twitch famous. Now we gotta post when I'm famous. We got a number of Overwatch League transactions at all. I was in the coaching and front office department. We'll go over that. Some other news regarding a pretty large platform putting a team together for some high-tier Overwatch. And on Overthoughts, we have some patch notes that are finally addressing this double shield meta that a lot of people, including myself, are not the biggest fans of right now. So that means that I'll probably be able to enjoy the game again pretty soon. But first, let's talk about this game coming up on Sunday here, Titans versus Shock.
Yeah, talk about just literally the two best teams going at it. A lot of times in sports, you don't see that, which is always weird to say because when you make it to the finals, right, you are the best team. But I mean, sometimes a team has some upsets, or a team plays really poorly, and they get upset, and then the winning team ends up getting stomped by the true best team. Nah, not this time around. This is clearly the two best teams brawling it out for the big cash money prize in a huge stadium of the Wells Fargo Center. So it's going to be an absolute party inside the stadium.
Yeah, I'm very, very excited for the event as a whole, and on top of the event and the cool people that we're about to meet, maybe for the first time, or definitely for the first time in person. On top of that, we have this game that's going to be a knockout. If you had to cutting right to the chase, if you had to peg a winner, who do you have winning this game?
Yeah, I think it's going to be the Titans. And as you can tell in my voice, I'm very sure about that. I'm definitely locked in on the Titans. I do think this is probably one of the most toss-up-y matches. But the way they've played, I think, has been a lot tighter than the Shock. Mostly because the Titans didn't get randomly upset by the Atlanta Reign. Mm-hmm. I think the tank line of the Titans are going to prove to be just a little, maybe a little too much for the Shock. I think Janu and Tizzy have a really good rapport with each other, even though Tizzy has just really started playing this postseason.
Just crazy.
I know. He is just not even missed a beat. He's like, yeah, sure, whatever. Yeah, I'm good. I am Runaway. It's fine.
So I got you guys.
Like, ridiculous. Absolutely insane. But, yeah, I think Hacksaw will prove why he was Rookie of the Year. He's going to come in and just massacre, for lack of a better term, the rest of the Shock. So, I can go into a little bit more, but, yeah, I'm interested to see what you think. Who do you got?
I actually have the Shock winning this. I know that was a major upset when the Atlanta Reign beat them, and I was just like, oh, man, like, might actually not see the Shock making it to the finals. Like, it kind of – it had me second-guessing myself just because they had a bit of a mountain to climb, because all of the teams that made it to the playoffs were teams that were – that had a really good chance of just basically beating each other. I mean, you do have those top three with the Shock, the Excel, and the Titans that are kind of a step above, but like, as you saw, the Atlanta Reign knocked the Shock down. So it's like, okay, well, are the Shock going to make it? And they've proven to me that they have what it takes to win. They didn't lose a single game the entire time when they went to loser's bracket, or they didn't lose a single series when they went to loser's bracket. Actually, I don't think they lost a single game. I think they 4-0'd everybody, now that I'm thinking about it. And they did 4-0 everyone. I'm just looking at the bracket now. And the reason, one of the things that puts my pick on the San Francisco Shock over the Titans is because I was pretty certain that nobody could beat the NYXL in the state that they were in. Vancouver Titans proved me wrong, beating them 4-3 in just a brawl. That was a great game. And I'm like, okay, well, you know, once I saw the NYXL, I'm like, the NYXL are going to go to the finals. It was the 4-0, I guess you could say, spoiler alert. I mean, that was 2 weeks ago, almost 2 weeks ago now.
Yeah,
but
it's spoiled.
It has been spoiled already. San Francisco Shock 4-0 NYXL. That was a statement series for the San Francisco Shock. I believe their talent stood on their head. Super and Choi Yobin looked great. Sinatra as usual. Striker, and then if Striker or Sinatra aren't playing that well, they can just throw in Rascal and Architect, who are two other extremely talented DPS. So I feel that the depth of their team, plus the statements that they've made through this loser's bracket, which, yeah, it sucks that they went to the loser's bracket, but, I mean, they get knocked down a peg, and then they're like, you know what? Like, we have something to prove. We have to prove that we're not losers. And they just 4-0'd everybody.
We had to prove to people we're not a bunch of losers.
Yeah, yeah. Like, we're in the losers bracket, but we're definitely not losers. But that 4-0 against the NYXL, when that happened, I already knew who I wanted, or I already picked my team. And that's the San Francisco Shock. I think that this game is going to be really, really good. I don't foresee the San Francisco Shock or the Vancouver Titans taking this match 4-0, like, at all. I definitely see 4-3. And I have to go in favor of the Shock.
Yeah, I would be truly surprised if it was anything other than 4-3.
Mm-hmm.
I would be really, I wouldn't say upset, because if it ends up being 4-0, mm-hmm. right? Because, you know, it ended up being, what was it, like 6-1 last year in the mm-hmm. finals, because it was a little bit of a different setup between 2 days. And yes. Philly had won one
they
map.
Won the one Dorado map, which I think was like the first map.
Yeah, so this one will be the classic 1-4. And I came to Philly for 7 games. I came here for 7 maps. And if I don't get 7 maps, then I guess I'm just, I don't know, hanging out with a bunch of great people for a little bit longer than I thought.
Yeah.
So, I think 4-2 is the wildest it's going to get. Mm-hmm. I would be super shocked, no pun intended, to see 4-0 or 4-1.
Yeah. I kind of would, like, I almost wouldn't mind seeing that just to see these two, like, powerhouse teams, like, one just kind of make a statement victory in the grand finals. Like, that would be interesting to see for that kind of storyline. But I think most people are pulling for something close like 4-3. I know I'd probably rather see 4-3, but I wouldn't mind seeing something crazy like 4-1 or 4-0. Just to see, like, a statement grand final to say, like, oh, you think you can dethrone us? You know, get out. Kind of victory.
Yeah, definitely.
I'm very excited for it, though.
I am so ready. I love... Yeah. So, a little bit of history. I went to, obviously, last year's grand finals. Mm-hmm. And then before that, I went to the LCS semifinals that were in Madison Square Garden a couple years ago. Ooh. And I gotta say, watching esports live is on the same level of, like, watching, rather, the difference between seeing it live and seeing it on your monitor, like, at your desktop, is just too different. It's so night and day.
Yeah.
Like, the atmosphere in esports arenas are just so awesome. And if you've never been, and this is the first time you're ever going to something, if this is your first grand finals, your first Overwatch in live experience, you're going to have so much fun. And, like, and if you don't like, you know, sports feeling, like going to a stadium and watching football or something, like, this is completely different. It is, yeah. The energy is so great. I forget where I was going with this, but, overall, like, I am just so excited to watch these games because there will be an abundance of huge top tier plays that will make the crowd go wild, right? You're going to see these gravitic fluxes coming out from, Sigma. And the crowd's gonna just flip when he gets 3K, and it's it makes you, like, get goosebumps and all this great stuff. It's like a concert now. You're getting up on your feet. So
The hype becomes a lot more real.
for lack
of a better term, when you're there in person. And the cool thing with the Overwatch community too is there is a sense of community. It was pretty awesome today. Again, I'll touch on this in a little bit. But going to the Fusion Arena groundbreaking thing, like, it was a bunch of Fusion fans, you know, getting together to watch this event. But, like, you felt like there was some camaraderie, which you do feel like when, like, you go to a normal sporting event. But I feel like because esports at this point is growing, but it's still kind of niche, that, like, it's a smaller community coming together, so you end up, like, seeing the same people. I did see one, there's one girl that is, I always see on Overwatch streams, on Overwatch League streams. I saw her walking around. She's always wearing a Fusion jersey out in LA when they're playing the games. Saw her. I know that I see the one guy, Alex, all the time when I'm out there because he goes to every game. You see him on the Twitch streams. I'm sure we'll be able to see him. Like, it's such a very communal feel. And if this is your first one, you will definitely sense that.
Yeah, just get ready for it, cuz you're going to want to keep going back. You're going to want them to play 7 games.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. This will definitely, I'm sure, sway people to go and buy tickets for the homesteads if they haven't already. And this is definitely going to build that hype train for any of the Philadelphia Fusion fans that haven't watched OWL Live and we're getting a damn stadium, which is awesome.
Yeah, so before we swap into the stadium, if you're going to pick a player this weekend, mm-hmm. that will be the carry, the guy that will change the, essentially just the way the game is played. Right, you know, change the momentum of the game. Who do you think it would be?
I gotta go with the league MVP, Sinatra. The way that he's been playing out of his damn mind, especially on freaking hate Doomfist, but man, like his Doomfist play. Sinatra is one of those guys that, like, you can introduce a brand new character, So when BlizzCon happens here in a few months, or a little over a month now, you could give that brand new character to Sinatra, and I feel like he's the kind of person that'll like make it look like it's the easiest thing ever, like 5 minutes into playing it. He's definitely going to be, I guess, my standout star for the game. I think that's kind of a safe pick, but a pretty solid pick.
It's a well-informed pick.
Yeah.
After seeing him play and knowing what he can and can't do, mm-hmm. you think it was a mistake for the Shock to not put him on Sigma?
No, I think he feels better in his DPS position. I know that his Zarya was just beyond disgusting when Goats was a thing, but I think he's even more disgusting as a DPS player. So I think he's all right. I don't think the Shock made that mistake.
Yeah, his Doomfist has been absolutely off the wall.
Ridiculous.
It's been so good.
Mm-hmm. Who do you have as a standout?
You know, I want to say one of the Titan supports, but I think it kind of just comes down to the Sigma battle, and I think Janu will come out on top. I think he's going to have a couple of huge plays mm-hmm. where they just outplay Choi on his Sigma.
Yeah.
I think there will be a couple moments where Janu is able to just do something that we didn't think was possible, or you put a shield somewhere that we thought is really cool, mm-hmm. or just in general, he enables the rest of the team just make some nutty play. So I'm going to go with Janu here, and I like him a lot. I like him a lot during this match.
I definitely like Janu's play over Choi Hoban. I definitely feel like he's definitely a stronger off-tank. One thing of note really quick, I have Sinatra's Liquipedia pulled up, and it says, alternative IDs, Savage Dab 69.
Excuse me?
That is a great name.
I like to change my answer.
Yeah. Oh, you know what? He's the real MVP. That's why he won the MVP, because he's got an alternative ID of Savage Dab 69.
Oh, fuck. He's so cool.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, the game should be pretty awesome regardless, but what else is going to be really, really cool? And I know there hasn't really been too many details, honestly. This whole like fan fest thing beforehand, that I'm almost looking forward to that more than I'm looking forward to the game.
Almost.
Yeah.
But almost. Yeah, it's going to be super fun, and I am really excited to do the stuff they have, because I didn't really do much last year at the grand final. I just showed up and I was like, oh my god, Brooklyn's so cool.
Yeah.
And then walked in, watched the games, and left.
Yeah, so yeah, that was me and my girlfriend. We were just like, she did sign the wall that everyone signed. That's about it.
The wall?
Though.
Yeah, I gotta find the wall. All right, I gotta find the wall this time around. Make sure
people
know.
Definitely have it.
Maybe I signed it. Maybe I said something stupid. I don't know. I do that a lot when it comes to signing a wall and walking away and doing something. I end up saying just like,
you gotta leave your mark.
I just like steal like a stepbrother's quote or something. call me Nighthawk.
Nighthawk.
You're like, God.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, I think it's going to be really cool. Again, I get to meet you in person for the first time. I saw there are a lot of people from the game house that are going to be there.
Yep.
That's going to be pretty cool. I'm going to throw some tweets out, see if there's anybody that listens to our podcast that's there. That'd be cool to meet one of those people. It's going to be a lot of fun, and there's going to be like a live DJ there. I think there's going to be giveaways. There's probably going to be like,
yeah,
little
there's a
merch,
few giveaways.
Like things of merch that you can get.
There was a recent tweet, actually, as I was looking at our notes. Mitchell and Ness is a clothing company, and they're going to be at the fan thing early, to my knowledge, in the parking lot, or wherever they're having the whole event, right?
So yeah, it's gonna be in one of the lots. If you've never been to the Philly Sports Complex, there's a lot of parking lot. So It'll probably be somewhere there.
But either way, we got to see Zedd 2 live, and that's just a low key a free concert.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, you pay to see some esports, and then you get a pretty top tier act beforehand. It's awesome.
Yeah, and I'm happy about that because I'm out of the loop. I didn't know who he was, but I listened to some of his music, and it's definitely a lot more appropriate for the community over my man DJ Khaled. That was very out of touch.
We are truly the best.
Gosh, that was. I still think about. I opened up my Snapchat and I followed DJ Khaled just for the memes. And I just had flashbacks of last year, and I'm just like, gosh, that was so bad. It was so, so bad.
Did I tell you this story? I don't know if I already said it on this pod, but during the DJ Khaled concert portion, me and my friends showed up late. So we had floor seats, so we had to wait for, you know, till the music was done. Mm-hmm. So they put us in front of the Brooklyn Nets dance crew.
Okay.
And I was super self-conscious that they were going to pan over to, like, our section and, like, show the dance crew dancing, and then just, like, my stupid face on the bottom half of the camera would just be, like, nodding along and be like, yeah, I know this song, yeah. Or, and then God forbid they turn a little bit down and see just, like, these four just skinny dudes sitting there like, and then just, you know. You're feeling awkward and you're feeling uncomfortable, so you just dab it off and just deflect all blame towards your friends there.
If you dabbed, it would have made it worth it.
And if I you ever just leave a moment in general, this is more of a life story. You ever leave a moment and realize, if I just dabbed,
if I just added that quick little touch,
if I just finished my presentation with a dab, just like a little subtle one, I think I would have gotten an A. I think I would have really made that sale.
You would have got a passing grade.
I would have passed calculus if I just dabbed on my teacher.
Oh, gosh.
Anywho, back to the grand finals. Sorry.
Yeah, the networking part's going to be great.
Mm-hmm.
I did that a little bit today. We'll get into that here in a second. But it's definitely going to be great. The FanFest is something that I know, you know, we're obviously both looking forward to it. The Mitchell and Ness stuff, I am interested in seeing what they do. It's probably some sort of throwback thing, because I know Mitchell and Ness is a lot of, like, retro stuff.
Yeah, they do, like, vintage tees and hats. Yeah.
I know they do a lot of Eagle stuff where they have, like, the old, like, full Eagle logo, and they do a lot of stuff with the Philly sports teams. I think they actually have a Mitchell and Ness store inside of Wells Fargo Center that they sell a bunch of, like, old Flyers and Sixers-themed stuff. So maybe they'll turn that into, like, an Overwatch League thing or something.
Oh, no doubt. No doubt in my mind.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm glad it's in Philly, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Apparently, there's stuff on Saturday. That's what it's looking like. I don't know if that's on the main Overwatch League site.
Really?
But at least the Mitchell and Ness event is Saturday. Oh my God. Sorry, everybody. That was a spoon, because I'm eating dinner.
You gotta make the sacrifices and eat dinner while doing the podcast.
You know,
that's real dedication.
Life gets in the way, but, you know, you gotta make it. You gotta make do. So sometimes you eat soup while you do a podcast.
All good. I wanted to talk about this Fusion groundbreaking thing today. Super awesome. I met three people. I didn't get the one guy's name, but I met a guy named Tom. He's from Jersey. He's walking around just wanting to get to know people and the fans. So shout out to Tom if you're listening to this. It was really cool to be able to kind of just network with people. I also met with a lady named Jessica. She works for win.gg. Actually got her business card. She was there actually as a media person. So she was documenting everything, and she like knows a bunch of people in the Fusion circle. And when I got her card, I was like, hey, you know, my buddy and I have a podcast, and we always like meeting people that are kind of in the media for esports, because, you know, it's kind of our realm too, and we're obviously not big names, but like we're in it too, so we report on a lot of this stuff. She's like, oh yeah, what's the name of your podcast? I said, oh, it's the Over Nerds. And she said something today that made me feel so good. She said, I've heard that name before.
Yeah!
Like, I had my brain blue screened of death, and I was just like, what?
A fan.
Excuse
in the
me?
Wild.
She's like, yeah, I heard of your guys' podcast before. I'm just like, holy crap. I'm like, I'm sorry. I'm just like lost for words right now. I'm like, because our listener base is not that large. And to hear someone like acknowledge the fact, like, she didn't say she listened, but she did acknowledge the fact that it existed. I've heard that before. And I'm just like, holy crap. Like, this is awesome. Like, I don't care if she's ever listened before. Like, that's cool to know that our name's out there. So that was a really, really cool meeting her. And then there was another guy, younger guy. Looked like a kid, probably like 17, 18. He was a nice dude. We were just talking about different things around the area, talking about the fusion. So it was really cool. Got to meet a bunch of people. There was... BLT, he goes by. He is the president of the Philadelphia Fusion. He was up there during the ceremony and was talking. We had the mayor from Philadelphia. Poco and Carpe were there today. And then there were some other individuals, like people from the firm building the arena itself, and a bunch of suits from Comcast and all that stuff. But it was really cool. They also had a tent where they had some VR experiences. I did one of them, and I'm now famous because Channel 10 News in Philadelphia, local news here, was just talking about the event, and they showed this idiot with a VR headset on, and I'm just like, wait a minute.
No.
I know that guy.
I know that dumb face.
It me. It freaking me. I started laughing. I'm just like, let me see, because I saw that there were a lot of cameras. Obviously, I mean, Channel 6, which is a very like popular local news station, they were there. There are a bunch of cameras there. There's a bunch of media there. So I'm like, I may have made something. My like partially balding head was in the very beginning of that video. But anyway, moving along from the fact that I'm now famous, I'll be signing autographs at the grand finals, so come and find me. They had VR experiences. They had three of them. I only did one of them, and they basically they had one of those Google Daydream VR sets, which are awesome. I actually was looking into getting one of those like back before I got my Oculus. And the one that I had, the one that I did was you were standing in front of the Fusion Arena. And as a VR experience, it's a 360 view, you get some immersion, and oh my gosh, this freaking stadium looks amazing. I'm so excited for it. And it was really nice to see people like the mayor come out and support something like this. Like, I feel like that means something. Like, our mayor's not just like, it's just a bunch of nerds over there building a building. Like, he came to this, he used the shovel and participated in the groundbreaking. He spoke about it, and it was awesome. To go back to that tent, they also had like a little green screen thing. You can get another like a picture in front of the arena, like they put you in there. I didn't do that because they probably want to charge me for a stupid picture. And then they had like the two other VR experiences. One was if you were sitting in the arena during the game, and one is of their training facility. I probably should have done those, but I didn't want to miss what was going on outside, so I didn't end up doing all that. Definitely check out, finally, I'm actually using this, the_overnerds on Instagram. I posted pictures and a video. I was in Xfinity Live after all the festivities of the day. Overall, it was awesome. It's nice to get some it's nice for our passion to get some exposure to everyone else. So this is going to be on the news, which is really cool. And yeah, I'm super excited for it. It opens 2021. That's when they're projected it. It's in the parking lot adjacent to the Xfinity Live building. So if you're going to Grand Finals, you'll see Xfinity Live. It'll be to the right of Xfinity Live if you're looking towards it. That is where the Fusion Arena is going to be, and I'm super excited for it. Great event, too. Just overall fun time.
Yeah, I'm really jealous that I couldn't go. We were talking about this right before we started recording.
Yeah, that... it was at 1:30. The actual thing started at 2. It was kind of like, I know that they have to do it. Like, they have their time that they have to do it. But it is kind of unfortunate. Like, some of the people I was talking to, like, yeah, you know, my buddies couldn't get off of work. Like, the guy Tom that I was talking to. He's like, did you come with anybody? I was like, no, I'm kind of in the same boat as you. It was like, I asked some people, and, you know, it's just poorly timed for people that work 9-to-5 jobs.
Whatever. I guess it works if your 9-to-5 job is Local 10 News, or you're a PR person, or you're a, you know, a writer or local Philly esports writer or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But
definitely. They also had some signings and some building Q&A. I dipped out early because I was just like, I don't know where I'm going to sit. I was kind of like, they took out a lot of seats in the area to do the Q&A and stuff. So it's just like, all right, like, there weren't like that many people there. I mean, there were a lot, but it wasn't like packed to the point where you can't breathe. But at the same time, like, just sitting there awkward in the corner, I'm just like, you know what? I'm just going to go dip and get myself some good South Philly food.
Yes.
Yes. So I did miss a little bit of some things. Poco and Carpe were doing a little signing, and they had some computers set up to play Overwatch. And then they had, like, the Q&A with, like, the building people, which I'm like, it'd be interesting to hear, but...
Is there going to be a water slide?
There should be.
We need
like
that.
Like the Milwaukee Brewers.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Every time someone gets a 5K, the mascot just goes down the water slide.
Gritty's there. Gritty was not at the thing. I was pissed.
Well, it's Gritty's birthday today, or is it yesterday?
It was yesterday, where he was jaywalking.
He's hungover. There's no way.
Oh, yeah. He was
Gritty got lit up. No worries.
One of the things I was telling some of my buddies, I was like, man, I really hope that Gritty's going to be there. And then, like, it's coming closer to time. I'm like, you know what? Gritty has to be there. And he wasn't. There was a guy dressed as Gritty, which was pretty great. There's some pictures on the underscore over nerds Instagram. But Gritty himself was not there.
My sadness is immeasurable. And wait, no, was it? My disappointment is immeasurable. And my day is ruined.
And my day is ruined. Yes. Oh man. Anyway,
we got super sidetracked. That's okay though. We're back.
No, we back. We back. Jumping into some general Overwatch news. I'll just shoot through this pretty quickly. Tyrong and I'm gonna butcher this. Hyunwoo. Tyrong is the head coach, and Hyunwoo is the assistant coach for the Outlaws. They have left the team. Kirby, who is a director of Overwatch operations for the Philadelphia Fusion, is no longer with the Philadelphia Fusion. And Bluehaus and Levi, that's head coach and assistant coach for the Dragons, are no longer with the Dragons. But Moon is now one of the coaches for the Shanghai Dragons.
Also note the coaches for the Gladiators. So DPI is looking for a team. I know he's not officially off the roster. He's just is looking around and see if he wants and kind of probing some options. And then John Galt, who is the Gladiator Legion head coach, is also looking for a team. Not gone from the Gladiator Legion, just trying to pursue a head coaching job in OWL.
Yeah,
Those are some names to keep an eye out for while the off season hits.
Yeah, definitely. The last little piece, Brock brought this up, that Elo Hell is going to be putting a team together named Elo Hell Dante.
Yes.
Yeah. Elo Hell is ran by a little old guy named Jane. Love that dude of the Dallas Fuel. Pretty big name in the competitive Overwatch community. You said this was supposed to be like tier 2 or tier 3 Overwatch?
Yeah.
That they're looking at?
So it's going to be spearheaded by Io Stux, who is a former Boston Academy, Uprising Academy, rather, head coach, and Lemon Kiwi, who is a caster of the Contenders.
She does Contenders.
It does, like, content, yeah, mm-hmm. for Contenders. And they want to foster a team / org for Contenders and kind of T2, T3, and OWL hopefuls. So pretty much they want to be gathering a bunch of talent, they want to play, they want to compete, and they want to help people move on to the OWL level, mm-hmm. or the Contenders level if they are just on the cusp of not quite making it. They're like always going through the gauntlet, yeah. or rather the relegation gauntlet, I should say. Mm-hmm. So keep tabs on this project. It's going to be very cool, extremely interesting to see who they pick up for this team, and who they want to, or rather who they end up promoting, and like what teams like see ELO Hell, Dante, this team, who OWL will take from them, and if at all. So it's going to be a very interesting experiment, to say the least.
Mm-hmm. Oh, definitely. That'll definitely be good to look at. A lot of Jane's stuff is very... I know a lot of his critiques are very... he's very blunt, but also that's something that you kind of want. So his videos are really good. If you haven't checked out his videos, I definitely would. He has an Ana video that I've learned a lot about. One of his things in that one, he was basically reviewing a Master's Ana and said, like, every time you use an ability, did you get the maximum benefit out of that ability? And I've kind of, like, I'll slip up because I suck at Overwatch, but, like, I have that mindset in my head. So, like, he's a super, super good coach who has really good videos. And yeah, he runs the ELO Hell community. So definitely check that out. Check out ELO Hell on Discord. They have a pretty good Discord server. They run pugs and stuff all the time too. Very active in the Overwatch community.
Yeah, definitely don't miss a chance to see all the great content.
Definitely. So we got some PTR notes.
Oh, do we have PTR notes?
BS.
Oh, we got some nerfs. We got some buffs. We are back in Overwatch. Finally, now playable.
So, now playable.
So, big headliners are Orisa's shield. The cooldown has gone from 9 to 10 seconds.
Yeah.
D.Va's defense matrix regen rate. So, when you click it and it uses its energy, how fast it goes back to full energy.
So excited for this.
It's back up to 16% instead of 12.5, which is a significant buff. I know the number seems small, but... and then the delay before the regeneration starts is removed from, went down from 1 second to 0.75. Mm-hmm. And again, incredibly helpful. The D matrix is going to be really nice to play again. Now, and it seems a little more fair now that it's a shorter range.
Yeah. I felt like D.Va was in a pretty good place before the double barrier thing, but now they have the double barrier thing. They gotta tweak some things to kind of make other people viable, and I think I haven't tried this out on the PTR yet, and I'm very excited to, because I freaking love playing D.Va. This seems like it's gonna be pretty good.
Yeah, she was a unfortunate side. I don't know, like a collateral damage is a better word for it from the double shield meta, because she doesn't have a shield, and all the damage dealers don't care about D.Va. You know, Reaper doesn't care about D.Va. Doomfist doesn't care about Reaper. Doesn't care about D.Va. Mm-hmm. Sim doesn't care about D.Va. So, yeah, D.Va kind of was in a bad spot. So naturally, they're like, all right, let's make her feel a little bit better. Mm-hmm. But, you know, D.Va's a good dive tank. You know who's even a better dive tank?
Wonston.
Your boy Wonston. His projected barrier. Her barrier projector. That seems weird. Is Barrier Projector always been... Has that really been the name the whole time? Winston's
Probably.
Bubble.
Yeah, Winston's Bubble.
Winston's Bubble. The duration has gone from 6 to 9 seconds. First off, nice. Second off...
First off, 69.
What? 3-second increase?
Yeah.
Is gigantic.
That's
That is a long barrier to be just sitting around. That will be incredibly helpful for dives and, you know, blocking ults and whatnot. And then the health went up from 600 to 700. Yeah. So now it's even, like, a better, more defensive. It's a little more not just to save his skin from a dive. It's almost now you can safely put it around you guys, even if you're staging. Yeah. So definitely an incredible buff to Winston. And I think the most notable nerf, other than the Orisa nerf, was the Doomfist Rocket Punch.
Oh my
went
gosh.
Up the charge rate. So the charge time went up from 1 whole second to 1.5, 1.4. Oh, man. Yep. And there's a couple of videos on Twitter right now that compare the two. It feels like an eternity to get the max punch charge for Doomfist now, which is really good. I know we were talking about this actually on maybe the last pod, or maybe two episodes ago. The best defense, his passive, the shield health gain per hit is reduced from 35 to 30. And I think we called that.
Yeah. So one of the things that I've always felt that really sucked about Doomfist, and let me tell you, I've played Doomfist in this meta, like in quick play, and it feels really fun to be a dickhead. The problem that I have with Doomfist, and I'm sure this is the popular opinion, he has his rocket punch ability that easily one-shots people. And I feel like easily should be taken out of that. If you're going to give something that one-shots somebody, it shouldn't be easy to do it. Like, Widowmaker can one-shot people with headshots. Headshotting people is not the easiest thing in the world unless your name's Surefour or Carpe or someone like that. So, like, having someone like Doomfist where all I do is hold the right click and, like, 2 seconds later I let it go, well, a second later I let it go, and I just get this Mercy, and with this weird-ass punch hitbox, she just goes flying and I one-shot it and then automatically make that team wipe happen. So it's like, I feel like the changes to Rocket Punch are good because if you're going to have an ability that has that can one-shot people, then you should make it a little bit more difficult to hit rather than let me go in there and click right-click for a second and everyone's going to disappear. I'm kind of curious to see what the comparison between 1 second and 1.4. It doesn't sound like a lot, but it always does like reflect.
In-game
a little bit,
like,
more severely in game.
Yeah, it's going to be a tough time for Doomfist players because Doomfist is much like a Sombra when Sombra got her nerf on her ult. You play a lot through not as much staring at cooldowns as much, but more on feeling. So when you're in a rhythm as Doomfist, you have internally clocked the cooldowns, right? So now, you know, instead of having that internal clock of, all right, I'm going to punch in, uppercut, side to slam out, turn around, and punch again, that punch again is now slowed down by half a second.
Yeah.
So now that whole, wheel and kind of like setting up of your combo is off by half a second.
Yeah. Now you got to think about it instead of just like, you know what, screw it, I'm going in.
Yeah, and that half, exactly, and that half a second now is enough for a Orisa to halt you, or a Widow to snipe your head, or May to freeze you. So this gives a lot more chance for players to hear the punch, because it's a pretty loud sound cue, and I know some people might play music while they play, or they just don't listen to sounds if you're a crazy person, but the audio cue of the punch is very loud.
It is.
And now you don't have a second to react, you have another half second to react. And that is a huge difference when it comes to being a pancake on the wall as Mercy or flying to someone else.
Yeah, definitely. There's a lot of interesting things on here too. Like they buffed, I wouldn't say they buffed Sombra, but like the cooldown was increased on their translocator from 4 to 6, but then it also begins counting when you deploy it.
So a little bit of a nitpick. Hey, Blizz, can you make your changes alphabetical?
Oh, I know.
This is a really big pet peeve.
Like, D.Va was first, okay, and then Orisa second, Roadhog, Sigma, Winston, Baptiste, cool. Lucio, Mercy. I think it's by role. It's by role.
But yeah. Come on.
Yeah, throw it in there alphabetically.
But all right, thank you anyway. More biotic grass went from 30 to 20 seconds healing. Mm-hmm. And again, thank goodness, I am sick and tired of just seeing Moira's. I used to like Moira. Now I'm like, all right, this is. And that, you know what? The good thing is, I do know how to play against Moira way better now.
Mm-hmm.
I feel way more comfortable trying to time the fade. Mm-hmm. So.
She's my favorite healer.
I guess that's
saw a plus. This and I was just like, eh, kind of sucks, but okay.
Unlucky. Yeah, now I only get my ult every 35 seconds instead of every 30 seconds. Oh, no.
Yeah, she gets coalescence like it's her day job. I feel like another really big standout was Symmetra, too. Her ult duration was reduced from 15 to 12 seconds. Now, this one right here, to me, is kind of stupid. The health of it was reduced from 5,000 to 4,000. Still don't think you're going to be able to kill it.
It's now...
That's a lot of damage.
It is. That's a lot of damage. Yeah. That one's... It's easier to kill now. And that's a dumb thing to say, because how many times have you actually broken that?
Yeah. I've never seen it broken, ever.
I've seen it broken once, and that was people in a custom game going, all right, Nanohog with a Orisa... Bongo, and he ults. Mm-hmm. Right, he like whole hogs it.
Mm-hmm. Just to see how much damage he can do.
Oh, originally with McCree's ult change, they were able to deadeye through it with a nano, but I don't know how much damage that is. I don't really feel like wasting time on the podcast to go look it up. Yeah, but
they mess with their sentry turret damage too.
Yeah,
50 to 40. That's gonna be nice, because she was very. They messed with the beam damage because they said, and we were talking about this a few podcasts back, that the beam damage was a little overclocked. That's why Zarya felt so good and Symmetra felt so good. But they also went and did some stuff to the sentry turret, which is good, because I feel like Symmetra was a fairly common pick recently. Apparently, also, players impacted by the primary fire beam should now hear a louder impact sound. That's interesting.
All right, keep your volume low for Symmetra's.
It just sounds like you're being microwaved.
You just get smacked in the right ear. Ah!
Yeah.
I'm dying!
Yeah. Sigma got a lot, too.
Yeah.
Kinetic grasp doesn't block chain hook or whip shot.
It shouldn't have in the first place. I don't understand why.
Yeah.
In the game, they kind of lied about kinetic grasp. And for those who don't know it off the top of their head, that's the suck move.
The suck.
Juicies. Yeah, the eat, if you will. He shouldn't have been able to eat ults, but he can, and he shouldn't have been able to eat hook and whip shot, but he did. So that's a good quality of life change.
Mm-hmm. They definitely tweaked his barrier too. Regeneration rate went down.
Oh, and there's a cooldown to use it, I believe.
Yeah, now it has a 1 second cooldown after recalling the barrier. Yeah. He definitely needed to be looked at, because I like Sigma, but he was in a spot where he was just too powerful for like the meta.
Yeah.
That's why we had he's the reason why we had the double shield meta, just because his shield's so easy to just place around wherever he wants it to be.
It's strange because he is a 3-star hero, meaning he has to be well-tuned. You have to play a lot of hours into Sigma to really get him. Mm-hmm. This is not the case at all. It just simply isn't true.
Mm-hmm.
Being able to right-click your shield is the same as Reinhardt, except if you don't like it where it is, you just click it again.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So there is truly not a lot of big brain stuff with the shield, other than, like, you know, killing a Widow sightline. I don't know if that's even big brain, but you can throw it at a Widow to make her move, or, you know, kill a Pharah with it, or clean Hamster mines.
Yeah.
but, you know, again, you just click right and you just call it back instantly. So
mm-hmm.
the 1 second cooldown, again, it's going to feel like an eternity to use that shield, but...
Yeah, it definitely will.
But it's a good change.
There was one other one I wanted to throw in there that was actually an unlisted change. There is a UI thing now for Brigitte for her armor packs that's under her reticle. It's like three little squares. So now you have a visual thing to physically see that, kind of like how Tracer has her arrows.
Yeah.
So that's a pretty good, it's a pretty good addition.
I like that a lot, actually.
Yeah. 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 I saw that today while on Twitter, and they're just like, yeah, this wasn't listed, but this is definitely on the PTR. And I'm looking now through the notes. I don't see anything listed about Brig other than, like, bugs. Two bugs that were fixed with her. There wasn't anything regarding the UI changes. So, definitely, like, a quality of life change there.
Right.
Yep. We'll definitely link the rest. There's been some other things. Roadhog got his ammo increased. It's mainly just smaller things at that point. Lucio got a bunch of things looked at, which is pretty cool. But we'll definitely link that in the description
for you to check out. But the main takeaway is Dive is peeking its little head again. You can see it over the horizon. Dive's like, oh, what's that over there? Oh, is that an invite for me on the table?
Yeah.
Is this the meta table? I'm coming in.
And Tracer got buffed with her damage fall off now at 13 meters up from 10. Not that probably will make much of a difference, but she was part of Dive, so hey.
Yeah.
You never know.
She'll die from a little farther away now, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, and you got anything last for overthoughts?
No. My main takeaways are I'm really looking forward to Sunday.
It should be a lot of fun. Absolutely same, man.
Yeah.
So I believe that will do it for this episode of the Over Nerds. Maridon, take us away with your favorite social media handles.
Oh, yes. At The McGaming at Twitter. You can also find me at twitch.tv/MidAtlanticGaming. Again, been slacking on that since the school year started. Definitely, I was plugging a little bit earlier, check out the Overnerds, the_Overnerds on Instagram. I need to be a little bit more active on Instagram. I posted all of the pictures of the videos today, from the Fusion Arena groundbreaking. So definitely go there, the_Overnerds on Instagram. Check it out. You can also find a bunch of the Overnerd stuff, at the Overnerds on Twitter, facebook.com/ The Overnerds, theovernerds@gmail.com. I think that's all of ours. Yeah, I'm probably missing one, right. But I think that's about all of them.
Yeah, sounds about right.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can find your boy Brock over on the Twitter at esportsbrock. You can see my latest articles over on the Game House. That's thegamehaus.com.
German House.
Yeah, the German House. Yeah, that's where all my main Boston Uprising stuff will be, so check that out, please. Level 1 Esports, this one has definitely taken kind of a back burner.
Yeah,
mostly between, like you mentioned, you know, school, work, grand finals around the corner.
Yeah.
We're, you know, plugging away at, obviously, the pod, so we will always be looking for writers. And please, if you're listening and you're like, hey, maybe I want to give it a shot, just ping us, man. DM one of us, to myself at Esports Brock, or the McGaming, or the over Nerds on Twitter. DMs are open.
Yep. Or Level 1 Esports, LVL1 Esports on Twitter.
That would be probably the best one, as it's the official Level 1 Esports Twitter.
Yeah.
You can also find us on the Geekscape Network.
Oh, yeah.
That's the geekscape.net. There are plenty of other nerdy podcasts and articles that you guys can check out there. Please, they are such a great group of guys and gals, so definitely check out the geekscape.net. I think it's just geekscape.net, right?
There's it's no the geekscape.net, yeah. Definitely check out Jonathan London. Jonathan London, I've met in the flesh. He's awesome. Did a little interview like a while ago, like a Meet the Geekscapist podcast, little sub episode, but he runs the Geekscape podcast, which is the main podcast. He actually sat down and spoke to Felicia Day, which is freaking amazing because I love Felicia Day. loved her work on the Guild. He sat down and talked and spoke with her. So definitely go to geekscape.net and check out that interview. It was really interesting.
And last but certainly not least.
Oh, here he is.
Yeah, this is the man, the myth, the Max Brown.
The Max creator, Brown.
The creator of our amazing intro. Please check him out on SoundCloud. Yep. He's made always making great stuff.
Yeah, his handle's in the description.
And honestly, thank you, the listener. You are the most important person to our podcast.
Yeah.
And I hope you guys have a wonderful time, no matter what you're doing during the day, whether you're listening to this first thing in the morning or last thing at night. Hey, I hope you enjoyed yourself, and I hope we see you guys at Philly. Yeah. I hope to see you guys in the grand finals very soon.
Yeah, definitely.
So thank you again for listening. That's going to be it for episode 51.
Boom.
Have yourself a wonderful time.
See you.
Thank you.
Later.
Hey, do you guys like horror movies?
I do.
Do they always have to be good movies?
No way.
I prefer them to be crap, personally.
Well, then you guys are in luck, because Horror Movie Night is your expert podcast on both horror movies, good, bad, and gooey. It's just a show of three friends.
Brother. Yeah. Two brothers and a friend, I think you would call it. But we're all friends here, you know.
We're friends. We're all friends here. Yeah. We goof around. But we talk about movies, but we normally don't actually talk about movies, which is kind of weird. It's a weird dynamic. You have to really listen to understand it. But we put together a show every Friday morning. You can find our show, hmnpodcast.com. We're part of the Geekscape Network. We are, you know, we're good guys. Just check us out. We're good, silly guys. We're fun.
Please like me.
Please.
That's pretty much the impetus of everything we do, is to be accepted.
We want to be loved. HMMPodcast.com.